Hey guys, it's Tom here. Just wanted to let you know that we have a Patreon you can get on for $3 a month and you get bonus episodes every week. And if you sign up for the whole year, you get a 10% discount. That's $2.70 a month, I believe. And we also have a tier where you can be a guest on the Patreon show. You could pick a band yourself to defend and do it on the Patreon. So get on over there. It's patreon.com/standbyyourband. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Stand By Your Band. I'm Tom Takar, the Wolf of Dog Street, joined, as always, by the Prince of Snarkness himself, Tommy McNamara. How are you, Tommy?
Doing very well. You know, I just filmed a little comedy video where the joke was that I hit my head on a tree, but I'm not good enough at faking that kind of thing, so I had to actually hit my head in it.
Oh, no.
So that explains, I'm a little off in this episode.
That explains those little birdies flying around your head. I thought you just got some new pets.
Well, then a piano fell on me, and that wasn't even part of it. But it was
all your teeth fell out one by one. That's very exciting. Very weird. Like the keys. We have a great guest today, and I'm so excited to introduce her. Her special Voluptuous Boy is coming out this Friday on YouTube. Give it up for Sarah Tolomach, everybody.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Of course.
Yeah, I did the album, and then I was like, I have video, and it looked decent.
Yeah.
But so I was like, I might as well just put it up on YouTube, but I'm trying to brand it where I'm like, you know, it's back to the basics, no crane shots, just one camera and a brick wall.
I'm excited for it. The album is so good. I just like re-listened to it recently, and it's so funny. It's
thank you.
Your bit about your landlord, I was dying at the thing about your landlord blaming you for your shower head falling off and saying, like, you got to stop swinging around on it. It's so funny. It's so true, too. Landlords are such pieces of shit in New York. Mm. Ours, I'm not kidding. I bitched about it a lot on the show, but it was sincerely raining inside of our apartment to the point where we couldn't be here because it was just flooded. And they were like, well, you guys have some plants on the roof. And we were like, there's no way that a little fucking broccoli plants is causing this much damage to the building. And then, of course, it was like some rain problem. They had to fix the whole thing. But it was insane.
Adrian Appalucci's landlord it was leaking in our closet, and he just set up a little colostomy bag for it.
That is so funny.
It's not like he's not planning on fixing it. It's just like a temporary solution that she's always going to have to deal with.
That's like, that is exactly what, when I lived in Chicago and I lived with five guys in a 3-bedroom apartment and it was a dirtbag place, that was what we did to solve our problem, where over the toilet we had a leak and we just put like a bag over it, and then it was just like, well, I guess when this bag fills up, it'll fall on somebody, and that'll be kind of funny. Like, we just didn't care. A landlord shouldn't be solving things like that. That sucks.
No.
That's so funny. How are you feeling? Comedy is kind of back, and I got to see you this weekend, which was very fun. But, it's kind of weird to be back, right?
Yeah, I'm back to all my insecurities as I was before.
Yep, me too, immediately.
I'm like, I really enjoyed pandemic comedy because it wasn't like, I wasn't all, you know, like, oh no, did I not get spots at this club?
I was going through this yesterday where I was like, I didn't get any spots this week. And I was like, well, I got a bunch last week. And I was like, I'm tired. I'm like exhausted from, I'm not used to doing stand up like 5 days in a row or 6 days. It feels like, because it was all at once it came back, that it feels like, when you're like, man, like you're a kid and you like have a cigarette, and then your parent catches you and is like, well, now you have to smoke all the cigarettes. Like, yeah. I lost my voice. I feel like shit. I just want like a couple nights of comedy a week now. I need to ease back in.
Yeah, I don't want as many, and I don't want to do late night It's like, what's the point of doing a 10-minute spot at 1 a.m.?
Right. Yeah. We forget. Like, I think that I was so excited to get back, I forgot that working sucks. And it's actually sick to play video games all day and not do shit. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I got to see friends and my family the most I've ever seen them before. And sometimes I'm like, I don't know if I really like stand-up.
Right. Yeah, I know. I was like, yeah. I haven't seen my fiance Antonio at all this week. And I'm like, oh, yeah, this sucked. I forgot that we just were sacrificing everything for something that was a lot of times just okay.
Yeah, yeah.
But I, it is still, it's still great to be back. And it's a nice little time. Tommy, you filmed that. You also filmed, I gotta give it to you. You finally filmed a failure on the basketball court.
Well, what's nice is, yeah, usually I shoot these basketball videos where I make the shot, and I posted one where I didn't. And what was nice is when I post one where I make it, so many annoying people just reply, how many takes?
Yeah.
This was probably the 10th take, blah, blah, blah. So it was nice not getting that. But I also didn't look at the comments because it hit a certain retweet threshold where I'm like, there are going to be some meanies in here. There's a certain number. I'm like, not going to look at them.
Yeah. It's a smart move because it just drives you nuts. I got to get better at not looking at comment stuff because this weekend I had a spot at the old cellar, and I was afterwards, I got a tweet that later that night.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about this.
It was perplexing because it was like, hey, if comedy clubs were the last thing to open, what is Tom Tokar's excuse for his hair? And I was like, what? It was one of those that I was like, I don't even understand what you mean. Because I got a haircut like 3 weeks ago or something like that.
Yeah.
And then I realized yesterday we were playing basketball and Shane Torres was with me and he was like, I got to get a haircut. And I was like, oh, my God. Shane was right after me on stage. I think they mixed us up because Shane's hair looks like shit. And no offense to the man, but it's raggedy.
Like shit right now.
And I don't look so hot either, but my hair is one thing that I was like, that's been trimmed up.
I saw you Sunday. I wasn't like this. Whoa, what's happening with Tom's hair?
Yeah, but it's, it's still good to be back, but I tweeted at the guy a swing and a miss gif, and then he unfollowed me and deleted the tweet. And I was like, well, neither of us are happy with this interaction. Neither of us got what we were looking for here.
I like that he just gave up on life so fast.
Very fun to be back though. And, I'm excited for today's ep. We're talking about Tool today, Sarah. And you were talking as we started recording, I just turned on the mics. I was going to do it Pete Holmes style where I'm like, oh, we've been recording this entire thing. But, we were talking, you were saying you were having trouble coming up with a band. And then you were like, oh shit, Tool, people give you shit for.
Yeah, and I understand it because I put it in the genre of bands that I think are really great, but then all of a sudden their fan base turns very bro-y or just frat-like.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, I remember dating this guy and then I told him I liked Tool. And I felt like it was a red flag for him.
I'm really sorry. Give me 1 second. I will be right back.
They definitely do fall into the category of bands whose fans I'm terrified of. where it's like, they're very active on Reddit and stuff. So it's like another one where it's like, I'm not going to look at any Reddit posts about this show for sure. No matter what.
No. I'm sure. I mean, because I am a fan and I love their music, but I dropped off for a while and then he did sub other bands that I also got into, but I never went to see them in concert, which I wish I did because I heard they put on an amazing live show.
Yeah, for sure. I believe it. I mean, they're crazy good musicians. I got really into just the song Sober at some point in my life. I don't remember how old I was, but I was just like, this is the coolest song I've ever heard. Maybe I was 14 or 15. And I was listening to it today to get ready for this episode. I'm like, this still rules. This is still a great song. I'm not embarrassed by liking it at all.
No, and I remember the videos were super cool. Like nobody was doing like an, it sounds so cheesy, but like an art direction like that for a mm-hmm. music video.
Yeah, they did a lot of very like science fiction-y stuff with like scary people, yeah. scary clay looking people. That
it was disturbing, and I think that's why I felt like, because I grew up in a town called Kingwood, Texas, which is very conservative, middle class, white, and they're very religious. Like they believe, a lot of people believe in the devil.
Lil Nas X haters,
yeah, right now. Yeah. Which I find so silly, but like. That's the kind of music that like that was just considered like demonic.
Yeah, that is so funny. And it's so funny that it's happening again now, because when you think about it with metal music, you're like, how stupid is that? That people actually thought the devil was like going to be mad at them. And then it's happening again in 2021. So it's like, I guess people are just never going to get over that red man that is the devil.
It's so hard for me to be like, I guess I can understand. I can get into believing in a higher power and a God, mm-hmm. but like, okay, so you just believe that there's just like this red guy down below. That's so goofballs to me.
It is. It's very goofy. Yeah. And I was raised religious, raised Catholic. And it's like, I don't even think as a kid, I ever thought the devil was real. Like,
yeah.
And it's like, I mean, even if you believe hell's real, there is just something about, maybe it's just like, cause we grew up with like South Park's version of the devil and like seeing all these pop culture representations of it that were so silly, but it's just so weird.
Yeah. To like base your actual reality on like a devil.
Yeah. Tom, we're talking about that thing you believe in, the devil.
Oh yeah. He's real and he's good. Those are my two opinions.
He's real and he's spectacular.
I mean, he does love to rock out. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, he's always like, he's not into soft shit, the devil. He's you never see him listening to some Sarah Bareilles. It's always some form of metal. And then I mean, Lil Nas X as well, I suppose.
Yeah, we were just talking about
that. Is that what you're talking about?
Friend? Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I loved it. I love that he brought back the devil, especially into the rap community.
I know. You don't see that's a dangerous ground for it, because so much God talk in the rap community, especially these days. And he's going the other way. I appreciate it. I've been trying to do a bit where I think it's so funny to say the devil's in the news. But it's like, it's so funny that people were so mad. It's like, oh, I wanted him to give Jesus a lap dance.
Yeah. Where you're like, it just makes sense to go give the devil a lap dance.
Right. Yeah. He's like a strip. He's who you'd imagine to be getting a lap dance. It is funny that to think that's what the devil would like, although he doesn't seem that into it for most of it, which is also pretty cool.
I feel like Jesus would be into lap dancing because he's very like forgiving and like open-minded. He'd appreciate the art form.
Yeah. The whole time he's just like, I forgive you. What's that? But, okay, so when, sorry, I had to go, so it was like a timing thing where my food delivery came right as we started, but anyway, we're talking Tool. So how did you guys get from Tool to the devil?
Oh, just like the videos. Well, and also where I grew up, it was pretty religious, like white middle class. And I was just saying that like those kind of videos and imagery, I felt like it was weird to bring that up if that's what you liked. Although I had a lot of friends that were into Tool.
Yeah.
But I was just saying that they're like, it just had like a kind of like a devil or satanic kind of feel about it.
Yeah.
Or the dark arts.
Did you watch, I don't know if you watched it too, Tom, I sent it to you, but there's a documentary, a YouTube documentary on Tool.
Wait, that I was so watching. There's multiple ones. I didn't see the one you sent me. The one I watched, I hated because the sound was all fucked up. It was called Behind the Music, but it wasn't Behind the Music.
So there was two big ones and we each watched a different one and they both sucked. I think is what happened. Because mine was like, it was like so close to being like a good looking documentary, but it was just like a little, you could tell, amateur, where it was like the lighting was really bad. Everyone was like dressed like shit. Like they didn't care that they were doing it. And it was like, they did this thing that I hate where like they have to establish, I get that like in the 80s in LA, it was like hair metal. And then in the 90s with Nirvana, it was grunge. But they had to show like they have to show a clip from Smells Like Teen Spirit for like 45 seconds. And I'm like, I remember it.
Yeah.
We
know about Smells Like Teen Spirit. It's fine.
There's no world.
The Tool documentary.
There's no world where somebody who is it knows enough about Tool to be like, I want to watch this doc about it. It's like,
yeah.
Who the hell is this Kurt Cobain? I gotta check his shit out.
You're telling me grunge was big in the early 90s? What?
Yeah.
The one I watched, the sound was just all over the place, but I couldn't even finish it because it was so bad.
That's not important in a music documentary, so that's fine.
Yeah. Well, from what I gather, Maynard is a very private person. So did he do any interviews or was it?
No, he wasn't interviewed. One of the guys from the band was in it, but it was a lot of just like people in the LA scene. And like there was a guy from there, because Maynard and the drummer, I believe, were both in this like comedy band. They're called Green Jello, where they were like, they billed themselves as the worst band in the world. And they were like intentionally just like disturbing and weird, kind of like to offset, you know, hair metal and that kind of thing. And they like went on the Gong Show and got gonged really quick, which was, I was actually appreciated watching that clip because the Gong Show is such a funny idea to me. And I know they just remade it, but like, it's like, I don't know. It's just so funny to be like, hey, you guys, you know, your talent, you suck.
Yeah. And that's what the whole show is based upon, is humiliating you.
Yes,
for sure. I feel like I know they just remade it, but it's like, I can't picture people signing up to be on it unless it's like in a, you know, Kaufman sort of way.
Yeah, right. He's never been discovered on the Gong Show.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But you know people will do it, though.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, we know that they will, because, I mean, if you watch, like, any reality show, there's always psychos who know that they're going to be made fun of, it feels like.
Yeah,
like, America's Got Talent always has some weirdos that you're like, there's no way this person thought this was going to be good.
I did America's Got Talent last year, right when pandemic hit. Like, I'm talking the day that Tom Hanks got it. It was the worst experience of my life. It was so demoralizing and shitty. And then they lump you in with some joke of a person that is, like, dressed in, like, a kind of weird magician costume, and you're like, you guys do the same thing. It's just awful.
Yeah. And it's also like, it's so weird with comedy to do it, because it's like, is Howard Stern the only, or it's Howie Mandel, right?
Mandel, right?
But it's like, man, shut the fuck up. He sucks.
I had Simon Cowell told me he didn't understand my material.
Yeah, and it's like, you're not supposed to. Look at your fucking face, man. You don't understand, like, physics. Like, his face looks insane now. You're not going to get comedy. You're a plastic man. Like, it's insane.
Like, my jokes are all about, like, kind of being struggling in New York and poor, and that guy just, like, went to private school as a kid, became a producer because he has money.
Yes.
That you can just start projects.
Uh-huh. Yep. And it's like, yeah, why does he get to have a voice? They're like, Heidi Klum gets to fucking have a thought on a joke. Like, who cares what she thinks about that?
Yeah.
That's why, I mean, for all the shit it was, Last Comic Standing, at least it was comedians until the end. Like, then they brought in that Wayne's brother, and it's like, what the fuck does he know? Like, and Roseanne at some point. But, yeah, at least then it was still people in the comedy realm. The thing that sucks about America's Got Talent is they're judging. Like, how do they know what a good juggler is?
No, and also, nobody came to our show because we were in a pandemic. And there were, like, 20 people in the audience. And they're about, like, half a room away from you. It was. And then I followed, a Cuban 75-year-old woman who's, a bodybuilder who just did this around the room in a bikini, and they loved it.
Well, she was on our last episode.
Yeah, she's actually really good, so you got to step it up. And I don't really get what you've been doing so far, but...
Yeah, the audio's terrible, but the Zoom is really fun.
Ryan, I actually have a buddy who went really far on that show, Ryan Niemiller. We should talk to him about it too, because it's like, it does seem like, it's, I mean, it's like any of those reality shows where they just want a story over most of it. It's production, but who knows?
Well, I made it to the next round and then I just ignored every email that came after that, because they wanted me to do, I think Osama went on through it, but he has,
I forgot Osama did it,
that everybody loves.
Right. Right.
That I was like, I'm just not doing it. That's all. Yeah.
I love that. I wonder how many people have done that. You must be in a small class of people who are just like, nah, fuck this. I'm out.
Well, I just sound like, I don't really think it does anything anymore, unless you're a singer.
Right. Yeah.
Or like a Vegas-y kind of act.
That is, I feel like that's the biggest thing. And I think, like I said, my buddy Ryan, I think, booked a lot of stuff off of it, but he was like top three, I think. So it's like, if you get that far, then it can do something. But for the most part, people aren't watching you do 30 seconds of jokes and going, I gotta be a fan of that person forever.
Speaking of comedy shows, Maynard James Keenan was on Mr. Show. Isn't that
there?
Nice?
You go.
Yeah, and then also when you opened up his CD, he had lots of, like, he would use Bill Hicks as, like, introductions to songs, and then, like, also, like, photos of Bill Hicks.
Yeah, he was a huge Bill Hicks man, which, Texas connection. And he did stand-up. I didn't realize that he also, there was, in the documentary that I was watching, they were talking about how him and one of the other guys in the band, or maybe a few of them, would go to open mics in LA and just sign up and go up, which, is wild. Even at the, like, when they were a band, like, they were already, known around the LA scene a bit. They were just signing up for open mics, which is just goes to show how brutal LA open mics are.
Maynard has to sign up for, Brentwood Brewery Company.
He's at Flappers.
he's
doing the Flappers digital classes that they've been emailing about.
Well, don't you feel like a lot of rock people want to do stand-up, and then a lot of stand-ups want to be rock stars?
Yes, absolutely.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you see stand-ups doing karaoke, you'll never see more of a performance, I think.
It was
so bad. I was just reading fun facts about them, and I'm trying to see if there's anything interesting. Have you seen them live?
No, I wish I have, though, because I've heard they put on an amazing live show.
Mm-hmm. It seems like it. I mean, it seems like
some
they're killing
people,
it.
I would say, considered it a religious experience.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I mean,
like, acrobats. It's a light show.
Damn.
And, you know, it's their music probably goes like kind of like a jam band, but in the dark way.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I don't know. I'm assuming like a 20-minute drum solo that just kicks ass that leads into another song.
Yeah. That's funny that you say that in the dark way. I was one of the things in the doc they were talking about is like, and it was a comparison to Bill Hicks, but they were like, seeing them and seeing Bill Hicks, it was like a psychedelic trip, which I don't know that I agree with that about Bill Hicks. I mean, I never saw him live, so what the fuck do I know? But it's still stand up. And whenever I watch clips, I'm like, this doesn't feel like I'm on mushrooms. It just feels like I'm watching a guy do stand up, which is still fine. But it is interesting that with Tool, they were like, yeah, it's like psychedelic in that it gets, you know, it's fun, but it's also, there's a minute where it's a little fucked up and it's dark and you're like, oh, I hope we get out of this.
Well, I remember one of the most disturbing things when you opened up I forgot what album is, and he had a ton of images in it. One of it looks like he's having sex with a dead body.
Oh, shit.
I remember always just looking, I'm like, am I seeing this right? What the fuck is this? And I always thought it was like one of the most disturbing images I've ever seen.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
Yeah.
Let's see. Well, I'm not going to look it up. I was going to, and then I was like, wait, we can't even show it on
here. You open up like an FBI list.
I think we should listen to a song because we're for people who don't know a lot about Tool, I think it'll be a nice little time. And if you want to, if you at home want to see the playlist, I named it Sarah Toolamash.
Nice. I like that.
The only time I've ever done anything creative with the playlist. So enjoy that. But which song should we hear first? You want to go in order of the ones you sent us?
Yeah, I think was Sober the first
Sober one? Was the first one, yeah.
Yeah, that was the one that, like, that's the first song I think I ever listened to that I really liked.
Okay.
Also, it was in heavy rotation on Beavis and Butthead.
Ah, there you
or
go.
Or Prison Sex was.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, we'll get into that after. But let's hear some of Sober.
There's like a 10-second part at 350. I really want to hear that.
I will find a center in you. I will chew it up and leave. Trust me. Trust me.
When I heard that guitar part when I was like 14 or 15 or whatever, I was like, that's the coolest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Oh, I know. It's. When I listen to Tool, it puts me into like a fantasy world of being like a fucking badass.
That is, I just saw your message, Tommy. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Hi, Tanya.
That song is sick. It was written about a guy in the band who can only do great inspired stuff when he's high. It's about a man like Tommy McNamara, they say. Who can't
keep hitting my head before these shows.
Keeps bonking his head. He's addicted to it. for radio play, the line "Jesus won't you fucking whistle" was changed to "Jesus won't you try and whistle," which is which is good.
I loved that lyric, and this is really weird. I remember driving cross country and I was dating a guy, like a defected Mormon.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember singing that lyric and he kind of hit me over the head with a newspaper. Like I was a dog. He was so offended by it.
Jesus, it won't you so fucking insane. Whistle?
What?
From Jesus, won't you fucking whistle? That pissed him off that much. These people.
I know. Well, he was an awful person. I'm not saying all Mormons are, but this guy was awful.
No, I think we can say it.
There goes half our listeners.
They love Tool.
Got to cancel that live show in Salt Lake.
We're not going to BYU. I enjoyed that a lot. This is, I mean, I've been saying it a decent amount on the show, but Tool is a band I didn't know like anything about. The only time I've ever listened to them was, I think like, yeah, Beavis and Butthead, they would be a thing that popped up, but I never really like looked into them as a kid or anything. And Sean Patton defended them on a live episode, and something about what he did with it, I really hated, but...
Sean did?
He did on a live one where it was a battle of the bands where you only, it's like a roast battle sort of thing, okay, where you have like 2 minutes to talk shit about the other person's band that they picked or defend yours, whatever. And I think he just picked a song that I, maybe in the context it didn't fit or something. I think it was Tool. He did Tool, right, Tommy?
No, that sounds remember. Familiar. It was a while ago. Mm-hmm. It was before my injury.
I just like Maynard's voice. Mm-hmm. It's one of my favorite voices in rock.
Yeah. I like it too.
Yeah. And you think when you hear like a progressive metal band, you're like you're not picturing a voice like that. You're picturing screaming or which we've talked about before, but
it's exactly what I was picturing. And...
Yeah, he did a duet with Tori Amos called Past the Mission, and his voice sounds really good in that because it's deeper and it was complimented her voice.
Mm-hmm. He's got,
and then I was like, "Oh, that's really cool that he worked with Tori Amos."
Yeah,
I was a huge fan of her too.
Hell yeah,
I like her cookies.
They are famous.
Famous Amos. She's famous.
I liked her work with Andy. sucks. Let's hear another song. You just mentioned it, but let's hear some of Prison Sex. Is there any specific part of this one I should jump to?
Nothing's coming out to me. I don't know if this is the one, but there was a really funny Beavis and Butthead joke where one of the animated characters started shaking his hand really fast, and Beavis was like, "I wish I could do that," meaning like masturbate. And I remember being like, "That's so hilarious."
All right, here's Prison Sex. That's my kind of song, baby. It's about in early interviews, lead singer Maynard James Keenan apparently was quite vocal about his dislike for his stepfather, and his video supports the theory quite well. However, the autobiographical nature of this song is purely speculative. I love a song that's just mad at your stepdad. That's sick.
Oh yeah.
Why is that, Tom?
Oh, no reason. that one's sick. His voice is great. It's Tommy, you nailed it on the head. I was expecting screamy shit I'm a little bitch boy, and I hate when a guy's just screaming too loud at me, but I love maybe it's because my stepdad but I love this guy's voice. That's a great song.
Yeah, I like his singing style.
Yes,
very cool rock. singing. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's way more accessible than you would think it would be, because the knock you always hear on Tool, at least in my experience, was people call it, they're just like, oh, it's just math rock. And it's just, you're not expecting something that you listen to. It's like, it doesn't feel like homework listening to this. It's just like a cool rock song.
Yeah. Why do they call it math rock?
Just because, like, they'd use weird time signatures and, like, it's just not as straightforward as most,
Who would know that unless you're really in depth with like music theory? Mm-hmm. I did read that he became friends with the guitarist from Rage Against the Machine, which I also put in the same category of their fans, where you're like, I really liked Rage, but man, they really got overtaken by the worst people in your high school that liked them.
Right.
And that's how I felt about Tool, where you're like, oh, God, I really like Tool. But like the worst people in high school started liking them.
Yeah.
Oh, but I was going to say he became friends with, and they were doing, he said, drop D tuning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Whatever the hell that means.
But I guess it rocks.
Listen to that drop D tuning. Oh, fuck yeah.
It's just changing the low string from an E to a D. It's a very simple technique.
Shut up, Tommy.
Is it easier to sing to?
I mean, it's easier to play like certain chords with it. A lot of people, like, it was like a big 90s thing. Like, All Apologies by Nirvana is in drop D. Everlong by Foo Fighters, I think, is in drop D. It was like a big, like, look, we're not afraid to change one string on the guitar to be a little different, you know?
Enough about dropping D. I want to drop some E. Let's go.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, apparently they, that's the band that they toured the most with, or played the most shows with, is Rage, which I did not know. It's funny, finding fun facts on this band are not fun.
Well, can I share a fun fact?
Yes.
I share the same birthday with Maynard.
Oh, now that is a fun fact.
That is
a fun fact.
When are we talking?
April 17.
Coming up.
April 17th? That's the day before Antonia's. That's great.
Yeah.
Let's do a joint birthday party.
Me and Maynard? That would be so cool.
We just send him a Zoom invite to his website's email. Let's see here. We have a segment to get to that I almost just forgot about, which would have been fucked up. So we have a regular segment where, the owner of the Comedy Attic in beautiful Bloomington, Indiana, likes to give his thoughts on each band that we are talking about. And, when I told him that we were doing this one, I have a bad feeling about it. He hates almost every band we talk about, so don't take any offense to this, Sarah.
I've read some comments on your Facebook. So I'm
you're primed.
Prepared.
You're primist. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I have a bad feeling. He, like I said, he's our resident snob, though, and this is what he does. This is our regular segment. They went to Jared. Here is Jared.
What's up, y'all? This week's You Went to Jared. The boys are going to have Sarah Tolomash on discussing Tool. I assume that this is an appreciation episode and not a defense. And that makes sense. I think that the average person, even if they don't like Tool, understands that they're good, you know, at what they do. So for me, I feel... the first thing that I feel when I hear Tool is that I have to put on a trench coat. Like, it just feels very like Dylan Roof, like the Columbine Shooters, like that to me, like that, or like, and I know they don't, that Tool doesn't sound like Marilyn Manson, but it just, those are just like in my mind, those are sort of like the two pillars of that type of person. And so it's kind of like being a Cubs fan, or, you know, even like a Grateful Dead fan. You kind of have to wade through some pretty gross waters with the other fans. And I think that's probably for someone like me that sort of came up listening to more, you know, like low level bands, or like, you know, punk and hardcore music, that we just never took Tool seriously because the people that liked them were just, you know, they just weren't cool, I guess. I don't know. I don't really know how to explain it, but it is really interesting because I've never met a non-white dude Tool fan. So like, this is actually going to be really interesting. I'm really looking forward to hearing Sarah's views on this, because it's just not, I've never met a girl or a non-white person that like them. So anyway, yeah, so looking forward to it. All right, thanks, guys.
All right, that was Jared. What do you think, Sarah?
Fair enough. It's kind of like we already touched on it. Like, you do have to wade through a lot of, like, probably not so great fans. I agree with the trench coat mafia.
We can use comparison.
We got a sound bite. I agree with the trench coat mafia. Sarah, quote Sarah Tolovich.
Love their work. No, I think it taps into an anger and probably a white anger. And I don't know. It's not like that guy has racial tones or hatred in his music. It just taps into like the white young angry man vibe. And I think that's me. I'm a secret bro.
Yeah, I don't. I don't know. I see what he's saying a bit, and I think before I listened to it today, I was like, I kind of felt like that was what I was going to get out of it. But I've been enjoying listening to this today. But I didn't.
Yeah, and you know the person that made me listen to it the most was my friend growing up, Carrie, down the street. We would listen to Tool every day before we drove to school, and we would smoke cigarettes in our Nissan Sentra.
Oh, hell yeah. That is a picture.
Like fun.
I didn't realize. So I think that they went on a tour a couple years ago, and so many comics came out of the woodworks as being huge fans. There was even a Tool comedy tour with, I think it was Rory and a couple
that.
Other comics. Yeah, I can't remember.
You know what? That might also, I mean, that makes sense. He likes, it seems like Tool always had like an affiliation with stand-up in some weird aspect.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I feel like a lot of comics, especially every comic that we know is within like art, kind of in the same age.
Yeah, yeah. So it adds up to that, to being super into that.
But I don't even feel like Gen Z would like listening to this.
No.
Because I don't know stuff that rocks like this anymore. I'm sure there are. I'm just not aware of it anymore.
What do you think, Tommy? You would. I feel like you got your finger on the Gen X pulse. You're always dating these young.
I used to smoke cigarettes with a girl named Gen Z. She lived on the street and she loved Tool. So.
Jenny's a greeno.
Jenny's a greeno.
Gen Z.
I didn't listen to that because they had a new album in 2019 that I didn't get a chance to listen to before we taped this. But it seemed like people were really excited about it. Yeah, in a way that Tool's just a band that I hadn't thought about in a long time until that happened.
Yeah.
Well, they were weird. They didn't release their music on streaming or Apple for a really long time. So I feel like it was really hard for any new people to like discover them.
Mm-hmm. I want to think about the thing you said about are there any new bands that are just like hard? I don't think of anything like that.
I guess we just don't know about them.
That's what
I mean, there's still like metal scenes, you know, throughout the country, so there must be some, you know.
Yeah
And then they also have a sound that's very arena, like they're a band that could play large venues.
Mm-hmm. yeah absolutely. But yeah, I guess that's there's it definitely doesn't feel like there's like a mainstream version of this happening now. There's no like arenas being packed with a new. I mean, I could be sounding like a dumbass now to somebody who's like, no, there's totally a band that started 3 years ago that's killing it like this. But I just don't know of any.
I can't think of any, at least, that could play, be stadium like,
right? Rock, which I feel like we would know of that, you know. We see the billboards when we're performing at them. We see who's coming up next week.
They were playing arenas, by the way. I just looked up their 2019 dates. They played like United Center in Chicago. They played, I mean, they're playing huge TD Garden in Boston. These are crazy big places.
Damn.
They played Barclays, which is wild. Just every basketball. They just love basketball, apparently.
They had to beat all the teams to play.
I saw Smashing Pumpkins at Barclays, and it was weird.
Oh yeah.
Well, he had new stuff and he was playing it and he was self-aware. He's like, don't worry, we'll get to the stuff that you came here for.
That's tough when it's an arena like that.
Great.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
I feel like Smashing Pumpkins are always hit or miss, where I've seen them like 3 times and it's like 2 have been great. One was like one of the worst shows I ever saw. So it's like,
yeah.
And they're very, these two bands are connected because of Perfect Circle, which is like a super group with James Iha from Smashing Pumpkins. The guitarist was in there. And then
I did not know that.
Tool. Yeah. Yeah.
Hey,
you just blew my mind. I like Perfect Circle as well. And I put a few on there.
Yeah.
I feel like it's, still sounds like Tool to me.
Mm-hmm. Should we hear a song sure. from Perfect Circle? Just to have an example. Do you want to hear the package?
Yeah, I like the pack. I like both, but I think Rose takes a while to kick in.
Okay, let's go. Let's hear the package. Just to hear some of it.
Yeah, but it does.
I'll skip forward. It's a long one. That part's cool. That's a 7.5 minute long song, so sorry. I had to skip around a little bit. By the way, I had nothing against that song, but this album cover, I hate so much.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I hate a bug on somebody's... Is that like a slug? What is that?
It does, but it also looks like a yellow bell pepper.
That's true. You know, that's what's bothering me about it. I love a bell pepper, and then you just see the little slug parts, and it makes me ill. But...
Yeah.
Perfect Circle. Should we hear some of the other one too while we're on it? Just to, and I'll skip forward. Let's hear some of Rose real fast too, just to give it.
Okay.
A That's a perfect circle. So that's, so who all did you say that was, Tommy?
It's like a super group with Maynard James Keenan, James Iha, the guitar player from Smashing Pumpkins, and there's who else is in it? I'm looking it up, but I forget off the top of my head. Yeah, those are the only two guys I.
Yeah. I wonder if people were mad that they formed, or if they were. Because I guess that both bands were still doing shit, so it doesn't. I guess.
Well, that was like there was like I just knew about it from the Smashing Pumpkins split because Billy Corgan did Zwan and James Iha did A Perfect Circle, and I was like, "Well, I'm Team Zwan because they're gonna last. Everyone's gonna be listening to Zwan in 20 years. We all know that."
Yep.
I think Zwan was a side band.
Mm-hmm.
Did it have a female singer?
It was still Billy singing, but
okay. Because I remember that band, but I never got into them. But I had one friend that was really obsessed with them.
Oh yeah, I mean, I went and saw Zwan. I was like very into it at the time. Yeah, it's like it was very short lived.
Yeah, it's just weird because I feel like that this kind of genre of music hasn't lived on.
Mm-hmm.
Like we still hear pop and we still hear rap, but I feel like we haven't heard. I haven't listened to a great demonic rock band in ages. And I kind of want to bring Satan back into, not that I don't even know why I'm saying Satan. Cause I don't even feel like he touches on that kind of themes,
mm-hmm.
but yeah. It has that feel, that dark arts. Got the, to
yeah.
It
there's a darkness to it that, you know, and a lot of the listeners here, they don't like the devil. And, you know, I think they need to get over it.
He's back in the news.
He's in the news. she is in the news. Nobody ever does that with the devil.
Yeah, nobody does that one with the female.
let's hear a few more songs here because we're running a little low on time. But if we're doing, let's do three more.
Sure. I did mostly from Undertow, but I think before I went into Perfect Circle, I went into some of their other albums.
Yeah, there's the songs. I don't know how to say this, but I'm going to say Anima. Should we hear some of that? Let's hear some of that.
They got that Elon Musk.
Yes.
Shit.
Yes.
The AE.
Yeah, combo. Which I don't support it.
No one knows what to say.
All right, let's hear that. Oh, shit. I like that one. That one goes. Anima. That one goes for sure. That's a good time.
Sometimes I never know what these songs are about.
Mm-hmm. That one I didn't look up the meaning because I didn't know how to spell the name. But the guitars were just cool as hell in that one. Let me see if there's any fun little song facts about that one. I'm sure there's something. Let's see. Yep, here we go. This is based on a comedy routine by Bill Hicks, who hated the city of LA. He thought the people were very superficial and represented America at its worst, and his routine, which is sampled in the song, Hicks talks about California falling into the ocean and creating Arizona Bay. Yeah, that's all it's I guess it's just about hating LA. There you go.
It's like when you say it like that, then you're like, ugh, what a nerdy song.
I know. Sometimes it's better not to know.
Like, is LA that bad?
Right. Yeah, it's fine. Come on. The weather's nice.
It's no worse than any other place that you go to.
That is so funny. You're right. It's just, it's kind of hackneyed to shit on it like that too.
Yeah.
You're just ripping.
Also, you're just like, I don't know, Maynard. It sounds like you're doing pretty well out there.
Yeah, if you were fucking up and everything, like nobody was giving you a shot, I could see bitching about this, but it's like, that's not their case. That's so funny. all right. Should we hear what was the first album? Should we hear another one? Actually, should we just listen to Undertow?
I love Undertow. I think that's a great debut album because most songs on there I really like.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and hear the song.
I'm assuming its debut, that was the first one that I saw, and that's the one I remember growing up with.
I'll have to look into that. All right, let's hear that. I'll look that up while we're listening to it. Here's Undertow.
Always love so much hearing someone say shut up.
Yeah.
Like at a TV show and a song, whatever, or a movie, it's just like, hell yeah, shut up.
Yeah, shut the hell up.
Yeah, there's a rap song that was like, shut up, just shut up.
Yeah.
It's cathartic to just sing that out loud.
Yes, because it's something I would never actually say to someone in conversation, right. But you're always saying, you're just like, shut the fuck up, but you never say it. So it's nice to hear someone else say it.
You got to start saying it more, Tommy.
I'm sure that'll win me a lot of friends.
No, that's like a word that you can't really do to people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, but it's fun when you do. I've found you can get away with saying a lot of things if you just laugh a little bit after you say it. all right, let's hear one more song, and then we got to get to our last segment here. So which one would you like to hear last here, Sarah?
Let me see.
The ones we have left are Bottom, Swamp Song, and Stink Fist.
Let's do Stink Fist.
Okay, let's hear Stink Fist. Oh, and you were right. That is their debut album, Undertow.
Undertow, yeah.
We'll be right back.
good.
Yeah.
I just love it. You know what's funny about those bands, though? It's like, they're the best kind of music to run to, and that just feels like not what they make it for.
Right. That's so
they
funny.
They want it to be like studied, yeah.
Yeah.
Or just like you're doing drugs or something to it, but it is running that you're, yeah, I hear that.
Yeah.
Any pickup like that, like, I'm like, yeah, I can run to that. So this one is, the title refers to a sexual act. Yep. He says in the chorus, you will notice that he first says finger deep within the borderline and then knuckled. Yep. And then he just keeps going. Yep. Sorry, well, Tommy. You know, shut up, Tommy.
I think I read briefly that he might have a slight Me Too incident that got pushed under the rug a little bit because he's not that big of a deal anymore.
I did see that. I was going to bring that up last, but just as a gotcha journalism thing. But yeah, he said that all the allegations were bullshit. And so I just take him at his word, obviously.
Yeah. The rock guy.
Yeah. I looked up, as we always do, Maynard James Keenan controversy. And in 2018, he responded to allegations of sexual assault against him. And he says, this despicable false claim only does damage to the Me Too movement. He also, the other thing that I found is him saying that Trump is not our enemy and it's actually systems or something. Yeah, yeah. And most egregiously, Justin Bieber tweeted about a Tool song saying that he really liked it. And Maynard tweeted in response, hashtag bummer. And that really pissed people off much more than the allegations. So, yeah, I didn't see what it was.
Oh, it was like kind of like a weird, not, it was underage, but like the 16, not that that makes it better. And it was kind of like coercion a little bit.
Yeah.
That you're like it's pretty sleazy and gross.
Uh-huh.
And I wouldn't like put it past any rock star for abusing any source of power.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we're seeing a lot of that coming to light these days. Like a thing that people didn't talk about was the coercion thing. And yeah, it's, yeah, it's, well, I don't know what he exactly did, but I'm sure it's not great.
It's all fucked up because even you read about all those rock guys from like the 70s, like they were all had like 15-year-old girlfriends.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard Joe like talking about this the other day. It's a good point where it's like nobody talks about those rock guys. They had songs about it and nobody seems to give a shit at all. It's pretty weird.
It's insanity.
Yeah. But I do, just to quickly put a cap on the Bieber thing too, it was funny that he went on this, he got interviewed about his Bieber comment because it stirred up a shitstorm of that. He hated Bieber and he was like, no, it's not about that. I don't like what he represents, but I'm more concerned about the shitstorm that it's going to cause for this poor kid or whatever. And it's like, dude, you still did, like, you did tweet at him something negative. Don't act like, oh, but it's because I felt bad for him. It's like, no, you responded to him liking you and said you didn't like that. That sucks.
Yeah. And also, like, Bieber fans don't know who you are.
Yeah, it's not like there's. He was like, it's going to stir up this big controversy. It's like, no, they're not going to give a fuck
at
all.
Finally, people have to pick sides. For years.
Don't put us in this weird position.
Yeah. We have one more segment to get to, and I think we should get to it here, which is where we hear from the Peanut Gallery, the listeners to this show. And the people who are on the Patreon get first dibs on having their comments read. If you're on the Patreon, you get your comment read guaranteed. And it's only $3 a month to get on the Patreon. Get over there, people. Cody Huey says, the music video with the dust people terrified me as a child. That sounds scary as shit to me. Ron Trimbath says, wait, the TikTok queen herself likes Tool? That's awesome. I guess he was referring to you as the TikTok queen. Yeah, That's yes. He is very present on Twitter. He says, that's awesome. I always loved Tool in middle school, but was too much of a wuss to admit it because all of the dudes wearing Tool shirts seemed to obviously have groin area hairs in the seventh grade, and I really didn't want to deal with that sort of judgment for being a bald dick weirdo. Killer band, though.
No, Ron.
I like the band name Bald Dick Weirdos.
Yeah.
Brad Chester says, among the 90s and 2000s genre that could be broadly defined as pissed guy music, Tool was supreme. I still remember hearing Parabola and the first time when I was six and going, holy shit. Well, you watch your language, young man. Patrick McDonough says, I love Tool in middle school and high school and saw them live many times over the years, including in 2019 at the TD Bank Garden. Yet I haven't casually thrown on a Tool record or song since probably 2003. Their records have only been streaming platforms since August 2019. They are a legacy band at this point, sort of a prog version of Dead and the Company or whatever the Third Eye Blind Everclear tour was called. A fun time live, but surviving on pure nostalgia. I still think about the album art for Ianema, though. North American pressings of the album were packaged in a custom lenticular jewel case called a multi-image CD case in the liner notes for the cover and interior disc tray. The cover art and other images in the liner notes can be set behind the lenticular lens to create an effect of sequential animation. Wow. Well, thanks for the info there, Patrick. I didn't understand most of that. He also says one of the pictures was a guy sorking his own dork. I've never heard it put that way. That's got to be a British thing. Nick Clerkin says, I don't know about Tool, but I did just watch an 11-minute Loudwire video called How Did Tool Become a Cult, which did not answer the question at all. So is Tool a cult? Good question. What do you think, Sarah?
Yeah, I think there can be the hardcore fans are probably kind of culty-like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that it's the only band I've ever heard of with a comedy tour scheduled around their dates.
That's true.
Toby Braithwaite says, great band with a terrible name who produce great songs with frequently terrible names. Stinkfist is a banger, but would you want to request it on TRL? You're right. I'm not going to make Carson Daly say those words. Brendan Power says, Pitchfork's review of Lateralis stands as one of the most infamous write-ups the publication ever put out. They have a song off the Ianema album called Dear Von Satan, where a dictator figure is speaking at a rally in German, but if you translate the lyrics, it actually gives you a cookie recipe. That's fun.
I looked up that review. They gave it a 1.9, and people were very upset about it. And it's just a long, long, long pen. The one mean sentence I'll read that I found is,
when did that album come out?
That was, what was it? 2001, it looks like.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the one line I'll read is, the problem is Tool defines opus as taking their defining element and then in parentheses wanking sludge and stretching it out to the maximum digital capacity of a compact disc. Wanking sludge is a brutal phrase to define their music as.
Damn. Tommy, you did the Twitter, right?
No one responded at the time, I don't think. Unless...
It looks like we got some now, yeah. People, there were a lot of comments on this one on the Facebook, and it looks like a lot on the Twitter, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
With either they're really smart or they're really dumb. No in between. The fans.
Yeah.
This is crazy, by the way. I posted and I said, any thoughts on Tool? Respond in the next 2 minutes to get it read. And somehow we got 4 replies.
Yeah, this is crazy. And another one just popped up. This is wild.
So I'll do these really quickly. Hefferston says, for a band known as Progressive Metal, a lot of their material sure sounds the same. They are the AC/DC of progressive music. Damn. He writes right for Pitchfork. Mark Urban says, I saw them live. I essentially paid $100 to watch a music video on a screen while standing on grass and breathing in secondhand smoke. St. Jason, Jason Mania says, I respect a band that made us wait 13 years for an album. And then the first new song they gave us is 10 minutes long. And Starla said, easily one of my least favorite modern bands, which sucks because they are literally, oh, which sucks because everyone but Mainers is insanely talented. Danny Carey and Adam Jones forever. I agree. Danny Carey's drumming is unbelievable. And she says, one of my fave memories in working in alt radio was my program director telling me, I'll get you to love Tool. It's my mission. Spoiler alert, they failed that mission.
There was one more that I feel like I liked, which is our friend Zach Peterson said, Gore-Tex said, this is another Twitter account, says, Juggalo Radiohead.
It's so weird to me because I'm just like, I don't know. Like, I can understand. I just, when you listen to it, I'm like, it's got a melody. I like it. It rocks and it, I like his voice.
Mm-hmm.
But so like a metal band, like let's say like Cannibal Corpse, where I'm like, yeah, that's just not for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like I can understand how that can be polarizing. But when people are like, oh, I just don't like it. I'm like, is it because you don't like it because of like, I don't know, the whole culture around it.
Yeah. I feel like for me, if somebody was like, do you like Tool? I mean, I didn't listen to them because of the culture. I just assumed. I made a lot of assumptions. And you know what happens when you do stuff like that? Bad stuff.
You can't spell culture without cult. Here's a YouTube video. I did it in 1 second.
It's like after a while, you just kind of have to grow up and be like, yeah, I like Dave Matthews. I don't care if it's... Mm-hmm. You know, you think the people that like it are nerdy or dorks or whatever, like it's just good. And you're like, I also like rollerblading. Yeah. I know that's uncool too, but I like rollerblading.
That is funny that it's like, it is kind of a very like middle school, high school thing. Like, no, I can't like that. Those type of guys like that. The jocks like Dave Matthews, man. It's like, we're adults now. You don't ever have to be around the jocks again, bud.
Yeah, you're like, how tiring is it to live your life of like, what, you can't like something because other people don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it does sometimes hurt my feelings. Like, I liked PJ Harvey growing up, and that was one that I was going to bring up, but I felt like maybe not enough people would be aware of who she was. But that one, anytime I put that in, I would always get some dude being like, oh, I don't want to listen to your Les Rock. And then you're just like, okay.
Oh,
like,
cool.
You know, you feel bad about yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. It sucks. There's some Facebook comments here. We don't have time to read them all. I'm just going to read a couple here. Andrew Durso says, everyone who likes Tool is a genius. The word sapiosexual refers to people who are attracted to fans of the band Tool. check out his episode.
I knew Durso would like them. It's
yep,
so funny.
I knew
I was
it.
Thinking about that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Check out his episode where he talks about Kraftwerk, by the way. He also said, I was holding a Rubik's Cube the other day, and I put on Lateralis, and when it was over, I looked down, and the cube was completely solved. Gwen Sunkel says, I feel the same way about Tool as I do Jesus. They seem cool, but their fans are a bit much. That's fun. Let's see, are there any others here that I need to do? Tyler Snodgrass says, didn't spend as much time with them as a lot of other prog or metal bands, but I'm a sucker for when weird time signatures can still groove or have a hook, and they do that really well. There's your math rock stuff here. Sorry, everybody. There's a lot. I just if get on the Patreon and you'll get them guaranteed read, but we don't have enough time to do all these. I'll do one last one here, and I'm looking for one that's not about the fans. Jared Dryden says, it doesn't get much better than Tool at their best, which luckily they are at extremely often. I think Adam Jones is one of my all-time favorite guitarists and somehow is underrated in the whole Tool equation. And he said he saw them in 2019. It was quite possibly the highest caliber musical performance I've ever seen live. Very wow. Cool. Oh, last one. Norlex Belma says, Numa is my shit. So that's how you say it. Norlex. Yeah, Norlex is hilarious. All right, that is the peanut gallery. The last thing here is to rate the playlist. But before we do that, Sarah, you get to give us your final thoughts on the band Tool.
Oh, I mean, well, first of all, it was quite a joy to like put together a playlist because as that one guy mentioned that they hadn't been on a streaming service since or just now from 2019. So I'm definitely going to be walking around the city on the way to my gigs with Tool in my ear. So if I'm a little angry on stage, just know that not the Tool these days.
Sarah's gonna break through the glass of one of those. There's plexiglass in front of your breakthrough with the mic stand. You didn't like
Peter
that?
Harvey over there.
Beautiful. Yeah. I mean, this was very. This is a fun playlist to listen to. I didn't know what to expect going in, and I liked it more than I thought I would for sure. I wasn't sure if this was going to be an appreciation episode or a regular one based on the comments. So I think it does fall.
It's kind of in between. Yeah.
It's an in betweener for sure. And you know, we usually do six songs. We listened to I think seven today, maybe. I think I'm going to go with a solid 5 out of 6 on this one. I liked it a lot more than I thought I would, for sure. I thought this was going to be one that I was dreading listening to and dreading getting to the rating for. And I like the guy's voice a lot, and I'm a sucker for a good voice. And yeah, that's me, 5 for 6. What do you think, Tommy?
Yeah, I love, as I said before, I always loved Sober when I was a teen. I thought that song is so cool. And listening to it today was great. And just listening, I was just shuffling around listening to Undertow, the whole album. And it's a really cool album. I think they are like insanely good at their instruments. Like the drums and guitar are so good in this band. And the bass always sounds really cool. I like his voice. So yeah, I'm going to go with one of their crazy time signatures, 4-6.
Nice.
Sarah, you get to rate it too. What do you got?
Well, I'll go at 5 out of 6. Well, because like, I don't know. I do agree. Like a lot of the songs just kind of like sound the same, but like there's enough difference in there that I could probably go from one to the next, especially the playlist that I gave you today and enjoy that. And also I think a lot of people don't realize too, because now maybe because MTV is not on air anymore or plays. Well, they are, but they just don't play videos. They did all like, an album as a whole, like there's like a thought process put into like the feel. Their videos always look the same. You knew exactly that you were looking at a Tool video, and I thought it went well with the music, and I liked that they put thought into the whole experience.
Well said. This has been so fun. This is a great time. And guys,
Friday,
check out Sarah's special voluptuous boy, and check out her podcast with Adrian Apolucci, Vag.
Oh, is it not anymore?
Oh, well, I got confused by the thing, but are there old episodes people can listen to, though?
Yeah, you can always see it on YouTube, and then it's always on, it's still on iTunes and all that stuff.
Yes.
And we've got 5 years worth of stuff.
There you go. Plenty of content.
We just weren't making any money.
Well, if that's the bar,
I'm ordering a drink.
Nice.
Get on our Patreon, people. You don't want to see. You don't want to see what could happen. No, but yeah, get on that backlog. I've been doing that with a lot of podcasts lately. Just like catching up, like especially during the pandemic shit. I just sit on I play video games. I listen to old like. I catch up on podcasts that I liked. So do that backlog, but get on that special Voluptuous Boy and listen to the album too. Why not? Do it.
Yeah. It's on streaming, and then subscribe to my YouTube so you can watch the special.
Hell yeah. All right. Thank you so much, Sarah. And guys, get on the Patreon, you sick fucks. It's only $3 a month, and we appreciate it. And there's a tier where you can be a guest on the Patreon. So get on that.
Episode 200's next week. Get excited.
Yes. Yes, 200's next week. So spread the word on that Patreon. We want to get to 200 subscribers, and we are far short still.
We are really drowning.
Yeah, we didn't even really talk about it that much. I guess we should have, but whatever. Fuck it. All right, keep it crispy. Bye.
With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in business into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.